Now?
No, be patient. Wait.
Now?
Okay.
Hello, ladies. I am here for your daughters.
Previously on Beer Coasters.
Let's crack it.
A little roasted roastiness.
It's definitely like a bitter sweet.
Yeah, right off the bat, I'm getting...
See how clever we are?
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. I'm Mike from Boston, and with me this week is...
Mike, that's not your beer coaster voice.
Yeah, I was just going to tell him that was a really good beer coaster voice.
This is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And Chris in Dallas, Texas.
He's back, bitches!
All right.
I'm back, bitches! Not that they ever knew I was gone, bitches.
Well, maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
This week's show, we have summer beers.
Summer beers. Some are not beers. Just kidding.
No, they're all beers.
What else are we drinking?
Just kidding.
All right. Yes, this is one crazy summer ale show. And for the fermentation conversation this week, we have Sam Adams Summer Ale.
Oh, nice.
And for... our tasting flight this week. Toby, what are you drinking?
I'm trying the Wailua Wheat from Kona Brewing Company.
Ooh, aloha. How about you, Chris?
I am doing the Summer Bright Ale from Breckenridge Brewing.
Oh. Hey, I'm wearing a Breckenridge t-shirt right now. Breckenridge IPA.
No, you're wearing Bridgeport, Bull.
Oh, that's right. I am.
How many have you had today?
I had a couple extra pre-show beers. Now, for my tasting flight this week, I'm going to try Southern Tier's Hop Sun from Southern Tier Brewing Company.
Hey, tell me the Wailua Wheat. Does it have is it a fruit beer also?
Yeah, there's a
passion fruit.
Yeah, it's got passion fruit in it, so it can be considered a fruit beer, and then it's also a wheat beer.
Mike, does yours have any fruit in it?
I don't think mine does, no. Actually, I picked this one because it was classified the same as the Sam Adams, which is an American wheat ale, or pale wheat ale or whatever, so I grabbed it.
Because all the other ones have fruit in them, except for yours.
Oh, Mike's not fruity this week.
No.
Well, sorry, guys. Maybe we'll have a fruity show coming up.
Fruit
soon.
It up, man. Fruit it up.
Yeah.
So in between all these beers, we'll have our hop topics and, of course, our tweet of the week. We got a little bit of backwash, and then we go on to last call. But right now, we're going to go drink some beer.
Beer time.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're going to talk about it.
Alright, so for our fermentation conversation this week, as I mentioned in the introduction to the show, is Sam Adams Summer Ale. This is from the Boston Beer Company, www.samueladams.com. For any of you who don't know, is Jim Cook founded the Boston Beer Company in 1984.
Whoa.
The ABV on this beer is 5.2. The IBUs I could not find. This is classified, according to Beer Advocate anyway, as an American pale wheat ale. For ingredients on this beer, I didn't get much either. I got some malted wheat. And they also use lemon zest and grains of paradise. For those of you who don't know what grains of paradise is, I was going to ask the beer jargon guy.
Oh. Hey, beer jargon guy.
Asking about some spices. Yes.
And now time for craft beer jargon. this week's beer jargon, the term is grains of paradise. Grains of paradise come from West Africa, where they grow on a leafy plant and are easily harvested. The name comes from medieval spice traders looking for a way to inflate the price. It was claimed that these peppery seeds grew only in Eden and had to be collected as they floated down the rivers out of paradise. Although grains of paradise are now rare and expensive, but they were once used as a cheaper substitute for black pepper. They have a zesty flavor reminiscent of pepper with hints of flowers and coriander. Grains of paradise has been used in brewing as early as the 13th century.
Very interesting.
Sweet.
Nice beer jogging guy. That was Buzz was a nice. Yes.
That's some old spices.
We're working this guy, man. You better watch out. People are gonna get sick of him.
Sick of the beer dragon guy? What are you, well, crazy?
Then I guess we'll just have to go on vacation again. I think we've been pulling his stuff from like some old vinyl recordings anyway, from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rate Beer rates this beer 45 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users rate this a B-, and the Alstrom Brothers also rate this a B-.
Crack 'em.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Glug, glug, bitches.
It's yeller.
Hey guys, look at what glass I'm drinking my Sam Adams Summer Ale out of.
Is it a Sam Adams Summer Ale glass? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm drinking out of my cool laser etched Austin Lager glass that Beer Coaster Chris sent me.
Thank you.
All right.
So it's slightly cloudy, very kind of golden,
very
yellow,
golden,
with a little bit of little touch of orange.
I got about two fingers of head that's sticking around pretty well.
Yeah, I got about a finger.
I got
very, very bubbly, very carbonated.
Yeah, half of a quarter of a finger of head.
Yeah. It pours very fizzy, but the head has a nice fluff to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, Toby. I think that cloudiness might be from it being cold, because mine is quite clear.
It could be. Yeah.
Mine's cloudy. But yeah, it's probably
just a little bit. Got a little haze to it on the nose.
Getting some
lemon right off the bat.
Yeah, like a very lemony wheat, very sweet wheat smell.
Yeah,
dude, you guys pick up on that? It smells like tea leaves.
Yeah, like maybe
a little bit. Yeah, I get kind of like a very light tea scent. Almost like
it's
white tea.
Most likely that grains
like
of paradise.
Yeah, like a white tea or a green tea, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the leaves. It's not really like if you're smelling the tea itself.
Right. Yeah.
But the tea leaves.
Yeah, like a fresh leaf.
Or even
you get a tiny bit of that pepper.
I don't want to say a bay leaf, but you know how it has that when you inhale it, it kind of almost burns a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get you.
Like a little pepperiness to it.
Yeah.
It's from those grains of paradise. I'm going to take a sip.
Yeah, me too.
Me three. Taking a sip,
yeah. I'm getting lemon and some breadiness. Actually,
yeah, there is a little bit of. A
lot more breadiness now.
Biscuity.
I guess it is more biscuit like. Almost like
I'm getting that tea leaf.
Like a buttermilk biscuit kind of breadiness.
Buttermilk biscuit with like some lemon butter on it.
Yeah.
Maybe some kind of.
It has that numbingness to the tongue.
A little bit. Kind of dry, like a dry spiciness on the tongue.
Yeah. Must be the grains of paradise.
How many times were we going to say grains of paradise? Let me count the ways. Would you guys pair this with anything?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I think this would go really well with some sort of seafood.
Yeah.
Like maybe really good grilled shrimp, I think would go really, really good with this.
Yeah.
Mike, well, I know you don't do seafood.
No, well, I pick seafood as well, except I it's much more casual. I went with a tuna fish sandwich. Nice. Still, with some of like those salt and pepper potato chips. Yeah, I think would go pretty good with this.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a BLT on rosemary bread.
Ooh, rosemary! I love rosemary.
Sounds tasty.
Well, let's sip on this some more and move on into some. For this week's Hop Topic, Chris has got a little something for us.
We're gonna start out a little bit differently this week, and we're gonna introduce a piece of backwash in this segment, just because it applies to this segment. And it was a suggestion from Tom in LA, and he says, "Hey fellas, a suggestion on getting more participation in your Hop Topic segment, because none of y'all want to submit nothing." When you used to have your own individual Hop Topics, I found myself always wanting to chime in after listening to the podcast. Your discussion would stir up a response in me sometimes, and I wanted to send backwash, but didn't know if it would be appropriate because I didn't want to have to make you guys reopen the topic from the previous week. And it sounds like that kind of response is really what you're looking for now. But right now, you're relying on the website for comments to populate your Hop Topic segment, but you're not getting much response. I don't know about any of your other listeners, but for me, I know that it's only after hearing you talk about it that I actually feel like I have something to say. So, to make it more like a dialogue, this is my suggestion. Do Hop Topics in two pieces. Introduce and discuss a new topic and wrap up an old topic, but in reverse order. That is, each week, end the segment with a good discussion on a particular topic, and then remind folks that if they have anything to add, they can do so by posting comments in the Hop Topic section. Then, in the top of the segment, you wrap up the discussion of the topic that you began on the discussion of the week before.
If we have any responses.
Right. I don't know if that's a surefire way to get more participation, but I often don't think of anything to say until after I've heard y'all talk about it a bit. Toby had a good point there, but he's forgetting about the circumstances where, blah, blah, blah. Hey. Anyway, just a thought. Yeah. So what we want to do is... Thanks, Tom.
So crazy, it just might work.
Yeah. So we're going to try.
Yeah,
but I mean... since we don't have anything from last week... we're off to a rousing start.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
here's this week's.
So this week's Hop Topic, BrewDog sells world's strongest ever beer in roadkill. Yes, it's exactly how it sounds. BrewDog. Okay. I'm sorry, I can't. Basically, they put out a 55% alcohol beer.
It's insane.
And this is kind of like the you know how there's this running battle we talked about earlier with them doing the, you know, world's strongest beer, and you know, with names like the Tactical Nuclear Penguin and other beers that have been competing, this beats them all. This is a 55% ABV beer, and it's presented in roadkill. Literally, it's taxidermied squirrels. That these bottles are actually packaged in, and like the photo that I'm looking at here, they actually have one's dressed in a tux and tartan and this and that, and
the other one's dressed in a kilt.
From what I heard, I guess PETA was all over. This isn't in the article that I'm reading actually, but that PETA was all over BrewDog about this, saying that, you know, this is cruelty to animals and this and that. And I mean, to me, they didn't kill him. If anything, exactly. They did. It's, you know, it's like someone else killed him. You know, it's like we just picked him up off the street. And we gave him like their 15 minutes of fame. You know, while they're so it's like
it was probably some drugged out hippie in a 1970s Volvo all rusted out that ran it over. So
yeah, so there.
And how many did they make, and how much did they sell for?
They made 12 bottles of beer. Each, like I said, they're presented in a stuffed, either a red squirrel or a gray squirrel. So you could have got either one. And they sold for, what's they say, like basically sold for, it looks like 700 pounds each. So if it's 700 pounds, that's actually over $1,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Pounds or euros, right?
Oh, euros. So, okay, so it's about $700.
But no, pounds, so, the pound is almost twice as much as the dollar.
Seems I thought it was like a dollar and a half or $1.6
yeah,
or
like,
something.
But yeah, that's, like that was like, right now.
That was like 10 years ago.
It,
so
yeah, well, not sure quite what it is used to be.
Exchange
yeah,
rate.
But it's like, but it's, they had two different versions. They had some that were served in stoats, whatever those are.
It's like a little weasel, basically.
Okay, so
the stoat's
so
like a little marmot.
They did seven of those, each selling for 500 euros, and then four gray squirrels, which sold for 700 euros a piece. and the beer already sold out, but I mean, yeah, 12 bottles. Out.
Not that we could have afforded one, but
no.
Man, how funny is that?
You know, so, something else that this article brought up that I thought was really interesting was they also made a beer called the Nanny State, and it's a beer with such a low ABV that it technically doesn't even qualify for alcohol.
All right.
Nice.
The strongest and the weakest.
Yeah. So right here, I guess the discussion around this is they've now come out and said that this is the last that they're going to do. They're no longer going back and forth and trying to up the ante. They said that their scientists really? Have determined.
How could you possibly do battle is, with yeah. that?
Well, this is the limit. End.
Are you talking about, are you talking about ABV?
Yeah.
Or the
well,
fact
no,
that they've
I'm just
got
talking about
in
that,
roadkill.
I mean, to present the beer that way. Yeah. I mean.
No, they're saying that this is the last high ABV beer that they're going to brew. He said that their research shows how far they can push the boundaries of extreme brewing, and this is it.
Yeah, wow. In more ways than one, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's extreme.
That's extreme.
Drinking my beer out of a squirrel.
So I think it's interesting that they're kind of, I don't know, throwing down the gauntlet and the towel in one fell swoop,
yeah.
I guess. You know, they're saying this is it to... I mean, this is all directed at Schorscherbrau because they're
right.
the ones that they
right.
are
they're kind of their biggest out. Competition, yeah.
And so they've said, "This is it. We've got a 55." I mean, it's impressive because they jumped from
41.
What was the last one? 41.
Yeah,
41 up to 55. That's a pretty big jump.
Yeah,
and said, "That's it." That's
well, what if Schorscherbrau comes out with a 56%? They still not going to do battle?
Well, that's what they said.
All right. They're that confident that nobody's going to surpass them.
Just, I mean,
I think they beat them
at what,
from packaging
yeah, but at what
alone.
Point, yeah. Nobody yeah. can beat the packaging.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
All right. Well, if you have any comments on this hot topic this week, make sure you give us backwash at beercoasterspodcast.com or submit your comment on the hot topic section, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay.
Toby, what I you am, got?
Today I am drinking the Wailua Wheat from...
Oh, Wailua Wheat.
From Kona Brewing out of Kailua Kona, the big Ooh. Island of Hawaii.
Hawaii.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris said in their story.
In fact, my wife was born there.
Yeah. Not at the brewery, though, right? We cleared that up last time I did Kona.
Yeah.
They've been brewing since 1995 because that way Chris is not a pedophile.
Yes. Yeah, that would be bad.
Actually.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Yeah. Still be pedophile.
Yeah.
Next, no. 2 years.
Wheat.
Three years.
Beers. Beers.
You can find them on the internet at konabrewing.com.
Stay on topic.
I can't shake him. It's Kona, K-O-N-A, brewing.com. This is a wheat ale or a fruit beer.
And it is not a pedophilia website.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
ABV of 5.4 with 15 IBUs. They use pale and wheat malt. 15. As well as Hallertau hops. You can find this in March through September. Rate Beer gave this a 31 out of 100. 49 to style if it's a fruit beer. And Beer Advocate users gave it a B-. Ulster Brothers, a C+. Tastings.com with an 85.
Oh.
Cracking it.
Dropping the tastings.com on us.
That's right. Yeah. That's how I roll.
Yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't roll that way.
Who's the brewmaster for Kona?
Oh, that's right. We're supposed to have that.
It's all right. I don't have mine either.
It was started by a father and son. I know that. Under the cap, it says Moana, which means ocean. Whoa. So it pours very clear, orangish yellow. I got no head, really. I just got a film on top. Decent bubbles. It's not nearly as carbonated as the Sam Adams was.
Tiny bubbles.
It's slightly cloudy. Nice. Very slight cloudiness. On
slightly
the news.
Cloudy with the chance of hops.
Ooh. Fruit.
On the bottom?
Fruit is. Hope on top. It must be that passion fruit, because, I mean, it even smells a little orangey.
Mm.
But it's very fruit. I mean, that's really all I'm smelling is fruit. It smells like a fruit juice box. I mean, not
beer in a box.
Not that sweet.
It's my beer in a box.
So I'm just gonna go ahead and dive in because all I'm smelling is passion fruit. Maybe a slight toasted, like a toasted malt kind
of. Like a toasted passion fruit.
I had this beer a while back and was not impressed.
Huh. Way to rain on Toby's tasting flight.
Yeah. That was a while ago, though. I think it was before the show. So it's like, and my taste has completely changed since starting the show. So who knows what I would think of it now.
It's a little bit more on the refreshing side compared to the Sam Adams. It doesn't have as sticky of a mouthfeel. A little bit. You do pick up on the wheat malt is present. Bit. And then you do the fruity flavor isn't as much as on the aroma. I mean, you can still taste it. It even ends with a nice grassy notes on there.
Hmm. Actually sounds quite nice.
It's not too bad. I mean, the fruitiness is really there, but it's not overpowering. It's not real sweet. It's not sicky sweet. It's just there. And it tastes like a wheat beer. I would actually... It seems like it's a filtered wheat beer. I don't see anything. I didn't read anything about it being filtered, but it obviously looks filtered. So I think that this might actually be better unfiltered. Give you a little bit more of that wheat beer characteristics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
On tap, I had this on tap a few years ago when I was in Hawaii and at the brewery, and it was, I remember liking it a lot at the brewery. So
this drink is local.
It's not too bad.
Locals fresh.
This goes to show you. For a fruit pairing, This, I think, would go great with some seafood. I could see having this, you know, out on a patio near the ocean. Macadamia-crusted mahi.
Ooh, you know? Now you're talking.
So, yeah.
Now I'm hungry.
There you go. Macadamia nut-crusted mahi-mahi with your Wailua wheat from Kona Brewing Company out of Kailua Kona, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Moo?
Alrighty.
Moo?
Moo? What? So for my tasting flight this week, I am trying the Summer Bright Ale from Breckenridge Brewing. Breckenridge Brewing out of Denver, Colorado. Their website is www.breckbrew.com. That's B-R-E-C-K brew.com. Style of this beer is an American wheat ale with fruit. An ABV of 4.5%. IBUs 15. Ingredients.
15.
They use a two-row pale, a white wheat malt, Carapils malt, and Munich malts. And then for the hops, they use Fugles, Cascade, and Willamette. So, you know, I didn't look to see. It says that it's a wheat ale with fruit.
Right. I guess the wheat ales are the summer beer of choice, huh?
Possibly.
It's possible.
It's possible. You know what's bad is I don't know what
you're doing here on this week's podcast.
Doing here. It says that it's an American wheat ale with fruit, only I can't find any information on what that fruit is.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, apparently not.
They say that?
Yeah, they say it. They say that it's an American wheat ale with fruit. For their beer style.
That's it? They just say fruit. They don't even tell you what kind of fruit. Nice.
Yeah, and
nice.
There's nothing... And it's interesting because their website is actually pretty good about, you know, they list what kind of yeast is used, what malts are used, what hops are used, the color, the bitterness units, alcohol by volume. They even give you alcohol by weight. And the availability, but nothing in regards to what the fruit that's used. I mean, I'm imagining it's probably lemon.
Does it say anything on the bottle?
No, I love
it. I know sometimes they'll put stuff on the bottle that's not on their website or anything.
Well, why don't you open
it? Not Breckenridge.
And smell it and taste it. See what kind of fruit you're tasting, smelling, and talk about it.
Maybe I'll do that. Rate beer rating of 27 out of 100.
What?
Beer Advocate users give it a C. Nothing from the bros.
Not much hops of this one, probably.
Well, it said 15.
IBUs.
So yeah, not much.
Toby's, yours was 15 too, right?
Yeah.
Color, it's a lot yellower than the Sam Adams was. Not as golden, more of a fizzy yellow.
Ooh.
Looks orangey from here.
Kind of hard to tell. It's not. It's yellow.
Well, it's just against your O'Brien's.
I got about
t-shirt.
A half a finger of a head that dissipated pretty quickly. The thin layer of film sitting on the top, but not much.
Film.
Okay. On the nose.
Fruit?
Very, very, not much. It's got a citrus aroma to it. Lemon is probably the fruit that's been used. It's got an interesting, like, malt nose to it. Like, almost like a, like, hay, kind of.
Yeah.
Wet?
Yeah, hay. Like wet hay.
Hay. Any overall, horse blanket?
It has kind of a lager scent to it. Even though it's not a lager, but it's got that kind of really weedy
scent of a lager. Brought to you by Beercoaster Podcast.
Take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Wow, the taste is not at all what the scent leads you to believe. Very light. It has like a lemon peel flavor. So it's mm-hmm. it doesn't have quite the sourness of the pulp that of a lemon would have. Just more of a bitterness. Yeah.
It's quite a zesty beverage, no?
It's actually not bad. It's pretty mellow. There's not a whole lot of flavor to it.
Unidentified fruity objects.
Yes. Not bad, though.
That's Harpoon.
If I was going to...
That's right. Yeah. Maybe that's where they got their name.
Pair this with something. Well,
some alfalfa.
I don't want to go, you know, down the road of seafood again, but this style very much lends itself to seafood. So I'd go with like a really good grilled swordfish with a
Caesar salad. That's a good meaty fish, though. That's like a really good.
I love swordfish. It's like meat. My favorite.
It's
fish.
Like a steak, you know.
It is. It's
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the Summer Bright Ale from Breckenridge Brewing out of Denver, Colorado.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's my turn.
Ladies and gentlemen,
drink some beer. So for my tasting flight this week, I am going to try Southern Tears Hop Sun. This is from Southern Tier Brewing Company out of Lakewood, New York. Their website is www.southerntierbrewing.com. This beer is also classified as an American Pale Wheat Ale, according to Beer Advocate. This is their summer seasonal. This is available, I think, as early as March. Or it's released in March, but you'll see it most of the summer.
It's interesting on Rate Beer how, you know, they'll list the style, and then under the style they give like the top examples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is one of the ones that's listed as the top examples.
Wow.
Yeah, the ABV on this is 4.9. Rate Beer rates this 86 out of 100. And the Beer Advocate users rate this a B+, and the Allstrom Brothers rate this an A-. I'm going to crack it.
It's interesting, because usually when you look at those top examples, it's usually all A's. But mm-hmm. not this time.
So, I didn't have much head. Kind of dissipated really quickly. It's yellow. Very clear. As soon as I wipe the fog away from my glass.
As soon as you wipe sweat.
Yes. They actually mentioned that they filter this quite a bit, which is, to me, it's kind of, I don't know, I like my wheat beers cloudy and unfiltered,
yep.
you know,
yeah.
but they made a point to filter this and also dry hop it. Just interesting choice.
Nice.
The smell, I get some almost like a citrusy hop oil. And some malt, like a you can smell like a sweeter barley malt. I'm gonna take a sip already.
Already?
Taking a sip, yeah.
Take that sip already.
Oh. It's
sip it.
It's hoppy. There's some wheat in there, but I'm getting
wheat.
I'm getting that dry hoppiness in there that you'd get with like a dry hopped pale ale. It's kind of an interesting mix. It's almost like someone kind of poured like a little bit of like a dry hop pale ale with a Hefeweizen or something. I'm not quite sure if I like it. I'm going to take another sip.
No, you don't get the music for that one.
It's got some some lemoniness. For a wheat beer, I wouldn't have guessed. Like, to take a sip of this, it's kind of strange because you get that dry hoppy taste and aroma like right away. It's got a kind of a medium mouthfeel. It's got a decent dry finish, and I'm almost getting a little bit of apple, I think, at the end. This is a tough one. I wouldn't quite know what to pair this with, but since we're on the
seafood,
I'm gonna jump on the seafood bandwagon here, and
it's the cool thing to do, man.
Yeah,
don't get left in the
dust.
This
could go with a spicier, and I've probably paired this food with a beer before, but almost like a Jamaican jerk or like a blackened fish, I think would go,
yeah,
pretty good. Or in Florida, they had this dish that was grouper, they called it grouper fingers, and it was kind of these fried pieces of grouper and a little bit of a spicy beer batter, and that I think would be a good pair with this. So what's up next? What do we got? Backwash?
Is that Southern Tier? Is that who that
What's
is?
What's that? What's that? I see in my glass. Yes, Southern Tier Hop Sun.
Beer Calm Dude says, watching Stephen Colbert drink Bud Light Lime make my liver weep. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
It's Beautiful Backwash, or BBW.
Which, if you try to go to the web, that website will give you something completely different.
All right. So our first piece of backwash comes from...
Tom in L.A.
I love L.A.
He says, as I mentioned in a recent forum post, I had my first IPL yesterday. Some term it an Imperial Pilsner or a strong pale lager. My tasting experience was a Ballast Point Fathom IPL.
San Diego, California.
That's right.
It was a rather bizarre experience. It was clearly a lager from the taste of the yeast, but it had a strong, sweet, grainy finish, more malts than your usual pils, and was insanely hops forward. The hops were mostly grassy, cut with bitter grapefruit and a tinge of pine.
That's crazy.
On first sip, I would rate it 2.5 pints because it was such a strange blend of flavors. But I think that's mostly because I just finished a fairly sour Belgian pale. As my palate warmed up to it, I'd go with a 3.5, tilting towards 4. It was definitely meant to be drunk cold, but it's strange getting such strong hoppiness out of a lager. I think it would have completely sucked at 50 to 60 degrees. Wow. Anyways, it's interesting, all the new hybrid styles that are coming out now, Belgian IPAs, India Pale Lagers, Cascadian Dark Ales, or Black IPAs. It's like people are taking these non-IPA styles and then just dumping a boatload of hops into it just to see what the world... just to see what in the world it tastes like. Sometimes good, sometimes meh. Anyways, maybe you guys could do a show on Imperial Pilsners or IPLs.
Yes.
Definitely. Tom in L.A.
Well, who was it? Sam Adams?
And thank
that
you.
Did the Imperial
thank you
Pilsner?
For... I wanted to thank Tom for contributing to the forum post. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
But in response to his whole, you know... it's interesting, all the new hybrid styles that are coming out. I love that concept. Like, obviously, I'm a huge fan of the Belgian IPAs.
Mm-hmm. And I love the concept, but it seems to be hit or miss. I mean, he's got a good point. I mean, sometimes it's great. Yeah,
no,
I think sometimes
I agree,
fantastic.
But I'm glad that people are branching out because, I don't know, one of my favorite beers right now is the Raging Bitch from Flying Dog. That thing is just awesome. Yeah. And that's, you know, one of those hybrid styles. It's a Belgian IPA, and it's just greatness. But yeah, I like it when they branch out and try to do things differently and hope that something hits. But yeah, and I would like to do an Imperial Pilsner show. I think it was either Sierra Nevada or Sam Adams, but I think it was Sam Adams who put out an Imperial Pilsner a couple years back. That I really enjoyed a lot. Surprisingly.
Yeah, we both got a chance to try that. I think we both kind of tried it at the same time.
Yeah.
And good beer. I was quite impressed with that beer. Yeah. We've mentioned it a few times now.
So the next bit of backwash we have comes from Renee, and I actually really like this backwash. It just hits to the heart of what this show is and what we can do with it. It was an email, and it says the subject, damn stinky beer. And then for the body of the email, it says, now I smell and taste all the different crap in beer. Before, I could just take a whiff and say, yuck. After your brainwashing, I must seek out unique tastes and aromas. I am ruined, and you will all pay. And that's
nice.
Great. Yeah. I love the fact that...
That's what we could hope to do, you know, one person at a time.
Yep.
We want to ruin you
that's
all.
That's right. I would love to ruin Coors Light drinkers.
Ruin them. Ruin them for life.
So, thank you, Renee. We appreciate that. And our last piece of backwash is from Chaz. This one's a little different for us as far as backwash goes, but here we go. His message is, it says, check this out. Pretty Things Beer and Ale Projects schedule their brewing around an episode of A Beer Appetit. Dan and Martha, which is Dan and Martha Paquette from Pretty Things Brewery, they will or Pretty Things Beer and Ale Project, sorry. They will welcome Beer Appetit into their home for an old fashioned English Sunday dinner roast. All cooked with Pretty Things beer. Can't wait for this episode to be completed. It's surely a beer appetit. So we weren't quite sure if we were going to post this, but we figured Chaz, he must have, you know, at least seen the pod, like Chris was saying, he must have at least seen the podcast to be able to, you know, check us out. So we figure, you know, we'll help anybody out that. And this sounds like a very interesting show. So if he's just giving us a kind of heads up on this particular show, which is really cool to actually, the brewers are actually inviting the show into their home for a Sunday, you know, roast dinner, you know, cooked in the beer. I don't know. It just sounds pretty cool to me. Yeah. So anyway, if you get a chance,
well, you know,
check that out.
I guess we could break the fourth wall a little bit and talk about, you know, how we. It does appear that this email or a similar email to this was sent to several different people.
Yeah, I have no doubt that. Yeah.
Breweries and such.
By that same time, you know, I'm okay with that because it's, you know, it is a community. Pretty Things Beer and Ale Project is a very small brewery that's just getting up and started. And this Beer Appetit. Yeah,
which I talked about quite a bit. I really, really liked those guys. Great beer, good people.
And this Beer Appetit sounds like it's a podcast. My understanding is that they have several networks that are interested in the show. It is a video podcast. And, you know, I'm all for that. We are a community. We're not just, you know, individuals. You know, we don't make any money off of this. So it's not like we're trying to compete with anybody. I mean, obviously, we'd like a larger audience and be able to listen, you know, more people to listen, but the more the merrier, you know? So anyway, just my 2 cents.
So there.
The best way I've found these guys is basically just Google Beer Appetit because they've got these videos that are kind of on other people's websites. I think they've got one on the Lost Abbey website where they went to Lost Abbey in San Diego and talk to the guys there.
Did they go to Lost Abbey in San Diego? Because when I looked at their... At that...
And the Lost Abbey website?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, when I read it wrong. Because it says that the pilot features Monk's Cafe in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And then when I started watching it, it had Tom Arthur from Lost Abbey. And I'm like, did Lost Abbey move? But it didn't. They just have more than one person in there. So I was confused.
All right. Well, that's it.
Cool. Thanks for all the backwash.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Last call. First up, height ratings. Toby.
Sam Adams Summer Ale. Very interesting.
Yes.
I liked it. If you're going to compare the two beers that I have and you were going to introduce them to somebody, I would pick the Wailua Wheat over the Sam Adams, just because the Sam Adams, with that spiciness in there, might be a little too weird for some people. I like it. I think it's interesting. I'm going to go with I'm going to go 3 pints on that one. For the Kona Wailua Wheat, I liked it a little bit better. It's not as good as I remember having it on tap. I did a little bit of research on Kona, and I did talk about Kona back in the day, how they're part of the Craft Brewers Alliance, and they have a... they have a... They brew their mainland beers on the mainland. You know, the beers that they distribute on the mainland, they actually brew them in Oregon and back in, I think, New Hampshire.
Brewers Alliance.
Yeah, because they're part of the Brewers Alliance, so they actually brew and bottle their mainland beers at the Widmer Brothers in Portland and the Red Hook in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So... maybe that has something to do with it, but I have heard that they are very strict and they keep a close eye on things, so it shouldn't change from the beer that you get in Hawaii. No, so I don't know. I remember liking it a lot more, bottom line, than I do now, so I'm going to go 3.5.
How about you, Chris?
Yeah, pint ratings for this week. Both of the beers that I had were
serviceable.
I mean, they're both good. They're both, you know, I could drink them on a hot summer's day, nice and cold, and they're, I find both of them fairly refreshing. Yeah, and I don't find much difference between the two. They're both just very average, and, you know, it is a beer that if, you know, I'm out camping or I'm out, you know, doing whatever... outdoors, it's something I'll grab and you know, be able to drink some and have a good time with it, but it's not something that I would seek out for an experience, for a beer experience. So, right. So both of them I'm going to give 3 pints to, and I know I'm doing both of them together, but it's, you know, I just don't find anything spectacular about them.
Deficient.
Yeah.
Saves time.
I don't find anything spectacular about them. They're both serviceable and tasty, and but I just don't. Yeah, they're just there. They're good session beers.
Yeah,
they're just there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for me, the Sam Adams I gave 3 pints. It's
ooh, trip 3s tonight.
Yep.
More of what that Grains of Paradise tastes like, that little pepper. I'd like to maybe try that in other beers.
You don't know what it tastes like? Because that beer jargon guy sounded like he knew an awful lot about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does. I mean, I'm getting the pepperiness out of it, but.
And now you know.
I'd like to try it in more beers. So for that, yeah, I give it 3 points. For Southern Tier, the Hop Sun. Once again, I'm kind of conflicted because I like the hoppiness and I love dry hop beers. But to me, this dry hopping and the wheat ale and filtering just doesn't quite work for me.
Yeah.
So I'm giving it a 2.5 because I could drink it. I mean, I could drink it all day long because it's got that decent dry hoppiness that I like. But it's missing a lot of other things for me. So I'm giving it a 2.5 because I can.
All right.
And you have.
Yes.
Good job, Mike.
Thanks. You guys get any individual shout-outs this week?
Yeah, you can check out KonaBrewingCo.com. I think I just said KonaBrewing.com earlier, but it's KonaBrewingCo.com. Check them out.
C-O.
Yeah.
I have Breckenridge Brewing. It's BreckBrew.com. You want to check them out. I also wanted to give a quick little mention to Snake River Brewing Company. I went on a little road trip this last week up through Denver and up to Idaho. Snake River Brewing in Wyoming was a really cool little brewery, and I was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Freaking gorgeous up there. Amazing. Yeah. And yeah, they had a really cool little brewery. I'm going to be reviewing a couple of their beers in upcoming shows because I picked up some. But yeah.
Sweet.
Cool.
Snake River. Look for it on future Beer Coasters podcast.
Cool. You guys, did you know you could follow us on Twitter? You can. We're Beer Coasters Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook. And now we got a new Facebook button on the website. So check it out.
Sweet. Yeah. All coming together. One-stop shop. Comments, suggestions, your favorite beer, your favorite bar, you can email us backwash, just like Tom in L.A. did today. And Renee.
Yes, thank you, Tom.
You can email us backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also call 972-914-8502 and you leave a message and we'll play it on the show.
And that website is, as Toby mentioned, www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also search for us in iTunes and subscribe to the podcast there.
Cool. And don't forget, if you want some swag, some Beer Coaster swag, go to cafepress.com/beercoasterspod. Tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
And also, don't forget, whenever you're in Las Vegas, go to Aces and Ales. It's on the east side of town on North Nellis.
East
or
side?
Or is it South Nellis? South Nellis South Boulevard. Nellis. And
South side!
Go in there and tell them Beer Coaster sent you, and you get a free pint. Get some nice beers on tap over there. They're having a strong beer festival coming up in August, the 13th through the 15th. Stay tuned for more details. And don't forget to support your local brewery. Like Snake River in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
That's right.
Nice.
Drink local because local's fresh and it's American, son of a bitch.
It's American.
Don't drink and drive.
Cheers.
Cheers. Ooh, that was a good one.
Yeah, that one was all right.
Nice beer jogging guy. That was Buzz was a nice. Yes.
And it is not a pedophilia website.